Welcome to Mission Point. Man, have you started your New Year's resolutions already? Amen. Where's Grayson? Grayson, pay attention, brother. You're going into airborne school. Okay, let me give you my first little situation there. I was your height when I was in airborne school, too. When you land, be careful. Do what they tell you. You need to protect those knees, because when you get my age, you'll have the same problems I do. So just remember that when you go in. So my very first jump, we have ground week, you have tower week, and then you have jump week. So in jump week, I was the one that got the door position. I was hoping that I'd be able to watch somebody else go, because as soon as the green light comes on, they push you out so fast, you ain't got time to think. I get the door position, so the door opens. And my foot's on the outside, my hands are on the outside, waiting for the red light to turn green. I'm just looking at the ground going, what did I sign up for? And as soon as that light turned green, the jump master took his 15-inch boot and said, green light, go! And I didn't even have a chance, man. So I'm like, bleh! So hopefully you'll be able to do it a little better than I did. But just be careful, man. It's no joke. You come back at 5'9 like I did. All right, open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We're talking about a brand new year. Hopefully you have a new focus. Hopefully you've got some new things that you'd like to do, especially when it comes to a brand new year. The gym is always the biggest one. People want to change their physical appearance. Why did you shave?
I want to change my physical appearance.
But the beard was looking awesome, man. Come on. Don't listen to your mother. We always want to change our physical appearance, especially when it comes to like weight loss, you know? And so the problem is that when we don't see things working, you know, like 2024, 2025, before, after. And that's what you do. But if you don't see things working, what happens? You stop doing them. Exactly. And it's something very important. It's kind of like the Dave Ramsey program. Dave Ramsey is a great program. And so what he does, even if it's a high interest rate, he says, always pay off the lowest bill. Why? Because people need to see that things are working. Right? And it's no different when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. Spiritually, when we talk about seeing things work, this is what we need to show a lost and dying world. Does Jesus work? Does he work? Okay. Well, if you don't see Jesus here, neither will the world. Amen? In 2 Corinthians, if you're there, chapter 3, verse 18, Paul says this. And we have an unveiled face. Beholding the glory of the Lord, we're being transformed into that same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. The difference is when we talk about spiritually, we are being transformed into the same image. This is not like the gym where you have to do the work. That Philippians chapter 2, Paul says, God will complete the work that he started. Amen? And so when we talk about being transformed into the same image of God, it's going to happen. We need to show Jesus. We have an unveiled face. The Old Testament people couldn't see Christ. If you're there in 2 Corinthians 3, look back at verse 14 through 16. Paul says, their minds were hardened. For to this very day, when they read the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, the same veil remains unlifted. Because only through Christ is it taken away. Yes, to this very day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. The folks of the Old Testament, those people didn't know because they did not believe on the Lord Jesus. When they believe on the Lord Jesus, all of the Old Testament makes sense. When the veil is lifted to the Old Testament, immediately you find out that the entire theme of the Old and New Testament is all about Jesus. It always was, always has been, and always will be. And so they missed it. The Pharisees, the scribes, the people that studied the Old Testament law so mad, missed it because they had a veil over their eyes. And they couldn't understand it because they rejected Christ. But when you accept Christ, the veil is lifted. That's the beauty. When the veil comes off, you can see Jesus. That's the gospel message that the prophets and the apostles preached from day one. The very first book of the Bible, we believe approximately James, somewhere around 48 AD. Depends on when the Council of Jerusalem was. Anyway, so long after, 10 years after Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, you don't have any New Testament. But what are they preaching from? The Old Testament. Because it all made sense. When they come to Jesus, the veil was lifted and it all made sense. And so they appropriated Jesus from the Old Testament to all of the things that he was supposed to be. And he is. And even to us, we see that. Matter of fact, in the very first sermon when the church started the day of Pentecost, and we see the Holy Spirit comes down on Peter and the other apostles, and they're preaching, they're speaking with cloven tongues of fire, and things are happening. And he's like, no, we're not drunk. It's only the ninth hour of the day. Come on. But he says this. He goes back through all these Old Testament principles, and he gives them the gospel from the Old Testament. Without the Old Testament, it makes sense of the new. You can't have it without the Old Testament. They both juke and jive. In Acts chapter 2, verse 16 through 17, Peter says this was uttered by the prophet Joel. In the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Well, we're living in the last days. The spirit has been poured out on us. It talks about dreaming dreams and visions and all those things, and they're going to be happening until Jesus comes back. But we're living in the last days now. So he's appropriating all the Old Testament stuff to say Jesus fulfilled all that. He is the fulfillment of all of those Old Testament prophecies. And then he goes on to talk about what David said in Psalm 16. In Psalm 16, verse 10 and 11, David says this, "For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol," or to hell, "or let your Holy One see corruption. You make known to me the path of life, and in your presence there is fullness of joy. At the right hand of our pleasures forevermore." So in the verses before that, he said, David is not talking about himself, because David died and he's buried and he's still in that tomb today. He's not talking about himself. He's talking about the Holy One of God. So Psalm 16 talks about actually the resurrection. It's a resurrection verse, not dealing with David. It's dealing with the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, the one that was to come. And Peter goes on and gives many more Old Testament references. And he says, that one, the one you crucified, Jesus of Nazareth, the guy you crucified, that's him. He's the Messiah. You missed it. Here's your Old Testament. Because when you come to Christ, the veil is lifted. And now you can appropriate Christ to everything that he was designed to be used for. You see, Stephen in Acts 7, dozens and dozens. You go to Acts 7, man, Stephen does dozens and dozens of Old Testament references. You go to Acts 8, I believe it is. Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, right? The eunuch's at the chair. What's he reading? Isaiah 53, suffering servant. There it is. Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. All within that verse. What a beautiful chapter. It's all Old Testament references. And they're all preaching the gospel message because Jesus is the fulfillment of all those things. Jesus fulfills all of those things. The book of Acts has so many Old Testament references. The book of Romans, Paul quotes the Old Testament in the book of Romans so many times. So many references. The gospel message, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, is from an Old Testament reference. It's beautiful. And so my point is this. This is what we should be doing. We should be appropriating Jesus to our lives because he is the fulfillment of everything in us. Amen? We need to be appropriating Christ in our lives because he is the fulfillment of everything in us, to us, and for us, for his glory. Don't just add Jesus to your life. There's a huge, huge difference. Greg Peel, would you open us in a word of prayer? And then we'll unpack all of this information this morning.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day you've given us. We thank you
There's a huge difference between adding and appropriating. By simple definition, when you talk about adding something, it's just joining something to something else so that you increase in size, numbers, or amount. And so, I got a little illustration today. I'm shaking it up. Welcome to Pastor Dan's magic show. Hopefully this thing works. Ran out of time. Voila. Wait, I need my woman assistant. Matt, you want to come up here, please? I'm just kidding. I love you in Jesus. Okay, so when we talk about basic addition, okay, here's a jar. This is me. Here you go. I take this jar down here. Now I've got two. That's all addition is. You're just adding. Taking one, adding to. Okay, I got another one. Here we go. One, two, three. I had one, added another one, added another one. All you're doing is adding. All I'm doing is increasing in number. And a lot of people like to do that. They go, I've got my life to live. Okay, I get married. Ah, now I've got my life. Now I've got my spouse. Okay, now we got that. Oh, then you have kids. Oh, then I've got my life. Then I got my spouse. Now I have my kids. Oh, we're living it. And then you go, I'll just add a little Jesus too. There you go, little Jesus. I'll just add a little Jesus to my life. And that's good, but that's not what God designed Jesus to be for us. This is God Almighty in his divine power coming down to help us, and he doesn't want us to add him to our life. He wants us to appropriate him. Big difference. The word appropriate in the verb form basically means to make one's own, to take something, to grab it, okay? Each year in January, talked about our budget meeting, we come together as a church, and we have this budget, okay? There it is. This is our budget. And what we do is there's a line item for each thing we're going to use. So we take, we grab, we make this amount our own, and we apply it here. That's a synonym for the word appropriate is apply. All right, you with me? So we take our budget, I grab this amount, and I'm applying it to the children's ministry. I grab this amount, we apply it to the youth ministry. I grab this amount, we're appropriating the money here. And so if you're stealing, that's kind of misappropriation of funds. We don't misappropriate. We do pay our electric bill. It's just some people just, I don't know, they're cold. We heat the front up, so if you want heat, you come up front. You backsliders, I don't know what to tell you. But you take money and you appropriate it to what it goes to. And so that's, so when we talk about Jesus, we take Jesus and we appropriate him to our life. Jesus is our all in all. He is everything to us. And so when we talk about using Jesus, this is what the world needs to see. It doesn't need to see me. It needs to see Jesus working through me. And if I don't look like Jesus, I need some work to do. And we've all got work to do. We're not perfect. We've got to be working on this stuff, and that's how you work on it, is appropriate Jesus in your life. Let me illustrate. This is where the magic trick comes in. It's wonderful. Don't try this at home, folks. I am a professional. Actually, I just got a good night's sleep at a Holiday Inn Express. Here's me. Little old me. I was taller, Grayson. But now I'm short. This is me. If you can't see in the back, you shouldn't have been backsliding. You should be up front. This is me. So as David says, we're conceived in sin. Oh, no, look at that. Now I'm a sinner. Woe is me. But the beauty about Jesus Christ, God created the universe, and everything was very good on the sixth day. But sin corrupted everything. The universe, man, and because of our sin, it has affected everything. It's affected our body. It has affected the universe. It has affected the earth. Everything has been affected by sin. And so, listen, and I know people use this stuff for different illustration, but what Christ does, when you appropriate Christ to your life, you get it correct for his purposes. So what sin did, Jesus undid. This is Jesus. This is my little Jesus. What sin did, Jesus undid. And if you apply Jesus to your life, he'll do the same for you. When you appropriate Jesus in your life in every area and aspect, he gets it right. And the world can see it. When we do it, we mess it up. That was cool, wasn't it? I'm so happy it worked out. $49.95, see me after church. I'll teach you how to do the same thing at home. Deadly chemicals, I don't want to be breathing that stuff here. So, but look, in 1 Corinthians 15:28, Paul says this. This is the resurrection chapter, very wonderful. When all things are subject to Christ, talking about the future, when he comes back and everything's going to be wonderful and perfect, the Son himself will also be subjected to him who put all things in subjection under him, that God may be all in all. That is what Christ is to us in our daily lives. He is our all in all. Isn't that a song? You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Christ is the appropriation to everything you need in this life. He is our all in all. We talk about being transformed into the image of Christ. He does that in various ways, in various means, but he is our all in all. Romans 11:36 says that from him and through him and to him are all things, so that he gets the glory forever. To God be the glory. And so God is our all in all. And what happens is that the Apostle Paul understood that. When he came to Christ on the road to Damascus, the veil was lifted. And now he saw everything of the Old Testament, how Jesus fulfilled all of that. And he began to preach and he began to teach. And matter of fact, in Philippians chapter 2, he says, all these things that I had, I was a Pharisee, I was this, I was educated, I was blah, 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 blah. I counted all as dung. Just for the sake of knowing Jesus. Jesus is all that we need to know Jesus. And so Galatians 2:20, Paul says this, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live in the flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's what takes place at salvation. We're a new creature in Christ. We're supposed to be somebody different. Still in the same house, but we're supposed to be somebody different. And we should live different from that moment forward. And it's a process which is different for everybody. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 and 15, Paul says, for the love of Christ controls us. Because we have concluded this, that the one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live may no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. Jesus Christ died for anybody that places their trust in him, so we all die with him, and guess what? If he was raised from the dead, then we're raised to walk in newness of life as well. You're a new creature in Christ, and you ought to live your life for him. Don't just add him to your life. Appropriate him. That's the point. We need to be appropriating Christ to our lives. I don't think we understand how you don't just accept him. You don't need anything else. You got Jesus, you have everything you need. Right there. Colossians 2:9-10, the NASB says it this way. For in him all the fullness of the deity dwells in the body. God is the spirit. Okay, that's wonderful. But guess what? Jesus is in his hypostatic union was 100% man, but 100% God as well. And so all of the fullness of God dwells in him bodily. And in Jesus, you are made complete. You're complete in Christ. You have everything you need. And this is the, for all the necessities of life, Jesus is there. Matter of fact, in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, Paul says this, "My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." Has God never met your needs? I didn't say your wants or your desires. I said your needs. God has always met my needs. And I believe he always will. Because God, Titus 1, 2, who cannot lie, right? Is God a liar? Absolutely not. You can bank on it. He will supply all my needs. I rely on him. When you appropriate Christ in the face of temptation, that's a beauty right there. So in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18, the writer says this, "For since Christ himself was tempted in that which he suffered, he's able to come to those to the aid of those who are tempted." Guess what? Jesus was tempted in every point like we are, right? But he was without sin, and he can help us as well. Matter of fact, when we talk about God and we talk about him helping us, if you appropriate Christ to your life, guess what? He gives you an escape route. Makes you without excuse. That's kind of scary. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Paul says this, "No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to everybody, to mankind. And God is faithful so that he will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but will with the temptation provide the way of escape also so that you'll be able to endure it." When temptation comes, Jesus knows what that's all about, and he can help you, and he'll give you an escape route. All you got to do is appropriate him. Use him. Let him help you. That's the thing we do. We try to do this on our own most of the time. Let Christ help. That's why he saved us, so that we can live a holy life. Matter of fact, 1 Peter talks about how we have been given divine power, and we have everything we need to live the godly life in this world. Amen? Phenomenal cosmic powers in an itty-bitty living space. Tap into it. You got power. Use it. That's what we're doing. Use the power of God for what he wants you to use it for. We appropriate Jesus in the face of afflictions and sufferings. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, Paul says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all mercies and the God of all comfort, and who comforts us in all of our affliction so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." Do you know God comforts us? God helps us. We have the power that we need to be comforted by God. And you know why he does that? So that when we're comforted by God, we can go and help somebody else. Amen? How beautiful is that? God helps us and works through us so that we can go help others too. So that they can see Jesus. Not me. They need to see Jesus. That's the point. We appropriate Christ through all of life's pressures, and he energizes us, and he gives us strength. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. Paul says this, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." I got the power to do that. I can't do that if I just add Jesus. I have to appropriate him. I have to take him and I have to apply him to my life. That's the whole point. And so when you appropriate Christ, he has wisdom and knowledge. Matter of fact, in Colossians chapter 2, verse 3, Paul says this, "In Christ, whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." You have decisions you need to make. Where are you going to go? Go to Jesus. You got financial decisions to make? Spent too much at Christmas? What are you going to do about that? He can help you pay your debts off. But yeah, he'll give you the answer you need. You need knowledge? Man, that's the beauty about coming to Christ. That's why I love to listen to that illustration of being unveiled. I don't have a veil. Now I can see clearly. Now I understand why the world is the way it is. It's because of sin. And now I understand because back in the beginning, God created man in his image. And man messed it up by sin. Adam was my representative. And I sinned in Adam. That means all are sinners. Romans 3:20. It all makes sense from then on. Now I see why the world's good. Now I see why the sun is wearing out. Atheist scientists won't tell you that. Well, the sun's wearing out because of the universe. Say, okay. But I know God created that. He holds all things together, and everything still operates according to God's plan. You want knowledge and wisdom? Well, I need it. What do I do? Ask, right? That's what James 1:5 says. If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives generously without reproach, and it'll be given. You need wisdom? Ask God. He'll give it to you. Proverbs 19:21. Many are the plans in the mind of man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. Man, we're here to fulfill God's commands. We're here to give God glory. We're here to do so much. And you put your plans in his hands, and he'll guide and direct. You appropriate Christ to your life, and he will guide and direct your steps. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he'll make your straight your path. Psalm 119:105 says, God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. John 1:14 says, the word became flesh. Jesus is that word. Jesus will guide you. Appropriate him to your life. He's the light that you need. John 1:9, the true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He's here. Well, he's here. Well, he's gone now. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. Now we're here. And if you're in Christ, then you are his representatives. Go and be the light. Appropriate Jesus and go and be the light. When you appropriate Christ, you know that you're going to have power. God didn't save you to do whatever you wanted to do. And that's the point. People want to add Jesus to their life for salvation, but they don't want to add him to their life as a new master. The Bible says you're either a slave to one of two things. You're a slave to sin that leads to death, or you're a slave to Jesus Christ to righteousness. And if you're a slave to Jesus Christ for righteousness, you better start acting like it. Because God is changing you. He is, not he might or he will. God is. He's going to finish the work that he started at salvation. And he is going to make you look like his son. That's why he saved us, Romans 8, 28-29. So that we are conformed to the image of his son. The word power in Acts 1:8. We've been given power. All this divine power by the Holy Spirit that Jesus gave to us. So when you receive power, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, at salvation you have 100% of the Holy Spirit. You've got divine power. That word power there comes from the Greek word dynamos. And that's what we are. We have dynamite. We have dynamite. That's, sorry for you young kids. You're like, that's dumb. They're laughing. That was the back of 70s show. I forget what the show was called. You know what they did? What was it? Good times. Dynamite. But anyway, you have to look that up. Don't do it now. Do it later. We have dynamite explosive power for the kingdom of God. But my point is, are you using it? Are you tapping into it? That's what God wants us to do. Now, these are generalizations. These are just generalized ideologies. You can talk all day long. Don't just add Jesus. Appropriate him to your life. Oh, okay. Well, how do I do this? Let's get a little more specific. Let's talk about marriage, okay? When we talk about marriage, don't just add Jesus to your marriage. Appropriate him in it. So here's the thing. Most people go, well, these folks, they fell out of love. They just don't love each other no more. In most cases, that's not accurate. They stop serving one another. When you stop serving one another, you stop doing things for one another. Stop and think about that. What was so attractive when you guys were dating in the process? That you did whatever it took to please the other. Wanting to do something for someone else. Wanting to do for them. Wanting to please them. Now, scripturally, we're to want to please the spouse to make them a better person in Christ. So if you're looking for somebody, you young folks, look for somebody that's going to make you a better person in Christ. That's the one that you need. Because what they're doing is they're appropriating Jesus in their life. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21, Paul says, submitting to one another out of the reverence for Christ. That word submit, actually it's a military term, and that's what Grayson did. He placed himself under the authority of the government. You now belong to the government. You're a GI, government issued. And so, but the idea is that you are placing yourself under them. And what do we say about this armed services? Did you serve? Yes, I did. I served in the Army. I served. Some served in the Marines. Thank you for your service. Thank you for your service, all of our veterans. And here's the idea. It's serving. To submit is also serving. It carries the idea of service. So when you come down to it and you see people don't look at that verse 21. All they do is look at verse 22 in Ephesians 5. Women, submit. And that's what they do. But listen, if you want to appropriate Christ in your life, you'll be willingly serving your husband. You'll be submitting to his authority because God has established that authority. But you'll be willingly serving him and submitting to him. And it's not just about the wife. The same thing holds true with the husband. In Ephesians 5, 25, husbands, love your wives. Wives, submit to your husband as to the Lord. You're submitting to, you're appropriating Christ in your role in the marriage. And the same thing holds true for the husband. Husband, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave his life for her. Appropriate Jesus in your marriage. Continue to serve one another. Continue to make your spouse better in Christ. In Matthew 20, 28, Jesus said, even as the Son of Man has not come to be served, but to serve. How beautiful is the example we have. In Acts chapter 20, verse 35, Paul says, in all things, I've shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said it's more blessed to give than to receive. When you stop giving and serving and loving and appropriating Christ in your marriage will fall apart. You know the little triangle? We got husband and wife, and the triangle comes up, and Christ is centered at the top. And the closer you grow to Christ, the closer you grow together. The same thing holds true in all relationships. You got to continue to serve and to give. And when those things stop happening, you begin to break down. When your focus becomes your children, your spouse is your focus. God says a man shall leave his mother and father and cleave to his wife. Doesn't say children, says wife. And the two shall become one flesh. And when you begin to not serve and give, and now I got children, I'm serving and giving, you grow apart. You have to continue that on throughout life. Same thing holds true for the church. When you stop serving and giving and doing, you start to break down. There's a breakdown in there. Let me finish with this. Look, Paul says in Romans 13, verse 11, besides this, you know that the time, that the hour has come. You got to wake up out of sleep, man. Your salvation is nearer than when you first believed. Some of you have been believers for a long time. Some of you, not that long. Jesus is coming back. Amen? Do you believe that? I don't know when he's coming back. Could be today. Could be tomorrow. Praise God. I'll take it. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. But if he doesn't, then I am still his representative. And I need to get busy for the kingdom of God. I need to be appropriating him to my life. I need to be looking more and more like Jesus as the veil has been unveiled. The veil has been unveiled. And this is what I'm trying to do. Look more and more like Jesus. And if I look like me, I need to do the giving up of the Spirit to allow the Spirit of God to work on me so that I look more like his Son. That's why God saved us. It's not the time to hit the snooze button. Matter of fact, I'd probably say it's time to hit the reset button. It's probably time that we need to do maybe a church reset. Amen? Maybe that'll be the theme this year, church reset. Maybe reset what we do, get back to what the Bible says. Amen? That'll be our focus this year. There you go. That'll be the focus this year, church reset. Put that in your brains. Serving, giving, doing, helping, growing the kingdom. It's going to be a lot of stuff. Be prepared. More to come. You don't just add Jesus to your life. You appropriate him. Because as Jesus says in Matthew 5:16, in the same way, let your light shine. Let that light shine. So that others can see you. They can see your good works and give your Father glory in heaven. We are to give God glory. Matthew, or 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, in everything that we do, we're to give God glory. 1 Corinthians 6, Paul says in verse 20, you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. And Jesus says, we're to glorify God by doing good works out into the world. Listen, if the world sees Dan Zediker, why would they want to come to Christ? If I look no different than the world, what do they need Jesus for? But I can't do it on my own power. I need the power of Christ, which he has given me through the Holy Spirit, to appropriate him to my life so that I get it right. Do you know why Jesus was so attractive to the world? Because he got it right. He was 100% obedient to the Father's commands. And we're to be that light. Jesus isn't here. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. And if you're the light of Jesus, then go shine your light. Go shine your light to a lost and dying world. They need to see Jesus. So how do you look to the world? Do you look like Jesus? Or have you got work to do? Because I would say, we got some work to do. If you're not conformed to the image of his Son, God is going to work it out. Friend, if you're here this morning, maybe you don't know what that means. Maybe you don't know Christ as your personal Savior. Let me tell you, you need that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the most important decision you'll ever make in your life. Talk about it at Christmas. It's the greatest gift you'll ever receive. Listen, we are all sinners, Romans 3:23. And for the wages of sin is death. That is eternal separation from God. But while you have breath, the Bible says you still have an opportunity to put your trust in what Christ did on the cross. His death, burial, and resurrection, and you believing in that, putting your trust in that, making a commitment to that, is what saves you, seals you, makes you a new creature in Christ. You'll be born again, and you'll be able to produce fruit for the kingdom. You'll have a new master, going from a slave to sin to a slave to Christ. If you don't know what that means, please come. I would love to explain to you what that means. Let today be the day of salvation. I'll explain to you what the Bible says. Because in 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, it says that you can know for sure that you have heaven and eternal life. Do you know for sure? Because you can know today. Let's bow for prayer. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for this day. I thank you for your word that guides and directs us. I thank you for... God, you're a God of new beginnings. You're a God of second chances. You're a God of so many different things. And Father, I just thank you so much for your goodness to us. You are so good to us even when we don't deserve it. And Father, I just thank you for every opportunity that we have to give you glory. You saved us so that we could work for the kingdom, producing fruit and giving you glory in everything we do. Lord, may we continue to grow and look more and more like your Son. Mission Point wants to be your beacon to this community, Lord, and give us exciting ways that we can get trained up here and then go out into the world and do what you've asked us to do. We love you, Father, and we just give you this invitation, and we just pray you'd have your way, God. Just have your way, and we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.